Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
When are you guys gonna learn? The more you indict, the more we unite. Facts. It's Trump 2024. We don't care. You heard me? We already made our mind up. You already know when the hood got your back. Man, they deep in the hood, gangsters, hollering about Trump 2024. You heard me? Woo, woo, wah. Gangsters. The hood got this man back. I'm just trying to tell you. You heard me? And we ain't stupid, man. American people, man. We ain't all them talking about lockdowns and back wearing the masks and all that. You know, they got a new virus coming and it's going to be, man, nobody don't care. Ain't fooling nobody no more with none of that. You know, new jack. Man, nobody being fooled no more. We all the way up. You heard me? It's Trump 2024. That's what it's going to be because we ain't having nothing else.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour three is official of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. As always, delighted to be with you. Remember, we're marching our way to 2.5 million individuals who have downloaded our podcast, Wendy Bell Radio, onto their devices. 2.5 million. And we invite you to be part of our army. Just go wherever you get your favorite listening material and put in Wendy Bell Radio and get us. And you can take us with you wherever you go. I hope you do. You know, we've been told so many times, you know what? I'm just tired of being lied to. I'm just tired of being lied to. And I don't want to get to this position where I just think everybody's lying to me. Because that's just, it's nowhere to be. It's not a space that's healthy. It's like Joy Reid looking always as race is the number one deciding factor in how she sees the world. It's not a healthy, productive space. Because some of it might be true, and that's a shame, but it's not the vast majority. You know, I traveled over the weekend. I got to go through Atlanta. I got to fly to Knoxville. I got to see the university there, University of Tennessee, where my son has decided he wants to go and he committed. And I saw people from all walks of life. People who don't look like I look. Nobody cares. And we're tired of the story. We're tired of the lies. I'm tired of it all baked in. People were courteous. They looked out for each other. They helped each other on planes. Nobody was snippy. Nobody was snarky. Can I help you with that? They were friendly. They were cooperative. All walks of life. Of course, this defies the narrative that we're all inherently baked into whatever the DNA is that we have. That's what you are, and you cannot shake it. One of the lies that I simply cannot tolerate is this whole idea that migrants, no, we're not, we inherited a broken system, factually incorrect. The mass movement of people into this country is Donald Trump's fault, obviously incorrect. And we're not interested in signing them up to vote. Again, factually incorrect. And this is scary. This from the Daily Signal today. Headline. Illegals instructed to vote Biden for border NGO to stay open. So there's this non-government organization of suck. And in fact, we have their flyer, which was seen in Mexico. It's called the Resource Center Matamoros. And on this flyer, in Spanish, it says, reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the U.S. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. Say what? You're telling people, remember who to vote for? But you guys are the people on the left who are telling us this isn't what's going on. Well, of course, you know what's going on. We know that it's going on. Mike Johnson at Mar-a-Lago on Friday, standing next to the president, told us it's going on. It's the predicate for the SAFE Act. Keeping illegals from voting and allowing state and local governments to ask people who say that they're American citizens, you need to prove that to me. You need to prove it. Isn't it amazing how, by the way, wherever you go, you need to have your papers. You need to have your documentation. You need to have the forms. You need to go through TSA. You need to virtually get naked. My favorite one to do is the body scanner where you have to stand in as though you're getting patted down by a police officer. So you raise your hands and the thing circles around you and everybody in line is staring at you, right? You know who doesn't go through that? All these people being flown into the interior of the United States, now more than 400,000 in this last year that we know of. 400,000, they didn't go through security checks. They didn't have to present papers. There's no photo ID for these folks. Nobody knows who they are. But by golly, if I want to go to freaking Knoxville, Tennessee, I've got to get virtually strip searched. Do you want saliva for a DNA test? What do you want? You're going to go through my bags. You're going to put on your little gloves and go make sure there's no residue. Yeah, I got it. But we're going to open our doors and we're going to let all these strangers in. And it's obvious now that you want them to vote. Of course it is. Here's your story. An advocacy group based in northeastern Mexico that lobbies U.S. lawmakers has distributed and posted flyers encouraging illegal immigrants to vote for President Joe Biden in the 2024 election, according to the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. By the way, follow the Heritage Foundation, please. Translated from Spanish, the Oversight Project notes flyers posted by the organization Resource Center Matamoros say, reminder to vote for President Biden when you're in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. Wow. So they're discovered in this facility, in this kind of makeshift, whatever, passing through point, that migrants coming from God knows where, coming to the United States, pass through, and they're on the inside of the porta potties. Right? Right there next to the toilet paper. Hey, remember Joe Biden. What are you doing? The pro-Biden flyers discovered by Muckraker and shared with the Oversight Project were found all throughout the Resource Center Matamoros in Mexico, including on the walls of portable toilets. It's not clear whether the organization authorized the flyers. I'm going to go with yes. Whether any action was taken to address their presence at the shelter for migrants or who posted them. I don't know. I'm probably going to go with the people who run that NGO. The city of Matamoros, located in the Mexican state of Tamaulipas, I totally mispronounced that, borders Brownsville, Texas, where Joe Biden spoke in February about the crisis of illegal immigration at the southern border, right? Well, guess who happened to be on the board at this Resource Center Matamoros, which is one of those bleeding heart liberal organizations which tries to do everything it can, basically with the Global Compact of Migration, to blur the lines of individual country sovereignty and flood our land with a bunch of people who don't speak our language, who don't share our values. Hi, look at Dearborn, Michigan. Death to America, right? And who the Democrats, and apparently 117 House Republicans, because if they voted for the FBI to be able to spy on us at any time, anywhere, no reason given, I'm sure they're down with this migration and people voting, right? Alejandro Mayorkas, yes, ladies and gentlemen, your secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, who was just impeached, voted to be impeached by the House. Oh, he was a board member, former board member of this NGO, which is telling people coming through its ranks, remember to vote for Biden when you get where you're going. Stop telling us it's not what you're doing. I think this, however, has the ability, this story, this obvious flying people in the middle of the night, now just in broad daylight, cats out of the bag, everybody knows what's going on. Get to your welfare center in the zip code that we drop you in. This is what you say. This is what you need. Tell them, even though you don't speak the language. That, yes, of course you're an American citizen. They can't ask you for proof. Then get your ID card. We'll get you a job. And all of a sudden, you'll be good to go to vote in November of this year. I'm tired. I'm tired of all of that. Right? And guess who funds these groups? Oh, shut the front door. You mean George Soros' Open Society Foundation has given $650,000 to an NGO connected to this one? Really? Resource Center Matamoros describes itself as a six-unit office complex that's the home for, you know, all things woke and do-goodery when it comes to migrants. Alejandro Mayorkas, a former board member. Do you see it? Of course you see it. This was purposeful. It was obvious. They needed the people to give them the padding that they weren't going to get with Mark Zuckerbucks and his stupid ballot drop boxes being closed. How do you get the votes you need? You send a bunch of people who aren't from here out to vote. And we knew it, and so did you. Dirtbags. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, the racism and hatred grift at USC. Did you guys hear the pro-Hamas valedictorian for USC's graduating class coming up next month? Who's supposed to give a speech? Oh, I can't wait. I'm sure it's going to be super friendly and inviting. But wait, what happened? I'll tell you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Yeah, it's interesting. We talk about what Harriet Hageman said. Well, how do you stop the IRS from being able to use artificial intelligence to have intimate details about every single one of us and our financial situations? How do you stop that? That's offensive. That's deeply offensive to me. And she says you've got to elect new people. You've got to start from scratch. You got to blow it up. You've got to reimagine and recreate. Ladies and gentlemen, colleges and universities are screaming for that makeover right now. Here's why. So I got this from USCAnnenbergMedia.com. So we're at the University of Southern California. Provost announces valedictorian at USC in a matter of weeks, right? Won't speak at graduation. You're like, whoa, that's weird. Why? Well, the announcement comes amidst controversy and concerns of threats towards the valedictorian, which have taken on an alarming tenor. Now, when you guys think of common sense conservatives, are you thinking about a well-oiled political apparatus? Or are you thinking about people who are busy, right? Who mind their own business, who go to work, who do their best with their children, who try to be good people, who pay their taxes, try to tell the truth, follow the law, right? We are not political activists. We are not known for crashing phone lines. We aren't known for our well-oiled letter-writing mechanism. Because we don't do that. Because we're working. So this idea that you have a valedictorian who's not like everybody else. And those damn conservatives have threatened her life. How could they? Well, it's really not the story. It's what Annenberg wants you to think. The Office of the Provost sent an email Monday, again, this is USC, to the student body, announcing that the valedictorian will not be speaking at this year's graduation. Andrew Guzman, the provost and senior vice president for academic affairs, said the decision was based on maintaining, quote, campus security and safety in the email. Huh. Well, the valedictorian, Asna Tabassum, said in a public statement later Monday that she feels the university has abandoned her. Why would they abandon her? Like, what's wrong with her? Huh. She says, quote, this decision is not only wait a minute. This is the Guzman guy. This is the provost at USC. He says, this decision is not only necessary to maintain the safety of our campus and students, but is consistent with the fundamental legal obligation, including the expectations of federal regulators, that universities act to protect students and keep our campus community safe. Well, this is kind of interesting. This decision was made after days of complaints from students, alumni, and others who viewed the valedictorian social media activity as anti-Semitic. What? Quote, anti-Muslim and anti-Palestinian voices have subjected me to a campaign of racist hatred because of my uncompromising belief in human rights for all, she says. This is the valedictorian. Well, apparently she's pro-Hamas. Actively pro-Hamas. And they're trying to say that it's some rabid right-wing conservatives who have threatened her. We're going to come for her and we're going to take her down. That's not what conservatives do. They sit down and they write carefully worded, courteous notes. I strongly encourage you to reconsider this action. If anything, we're woefully, woefully polite. And you've got a provost here who's trying to spin it under the guise of, well, hate is too big a deal out there right now. It's not that you've got wacky pro-Palestinian protesters who have been incubated on college campuses hither and yon to take up some kind of fight that doesn't involve them, because it's the social wave of virtue du jour. This woman, by the way, and I have to scroll down to her biography. What is it that she majored in? I've got to figure this out. She had a minor in like Muslim Hamas studies, something like that. I've got to find the exact minor that she has. But you got people on campus at USC saying, you know what? Congratulations that this gal got the greatest GPA of all of our graduates. But we don't need somebody who could possibly hijack graduation, turn it into some political spectacle to which all sorts of pro-Hamas and Palestinian folks show up and ruin the rightful culmination of our college education. And you've got a provost in charge at USC, instead of just calling a spade and saying, you know what? We've had enough of politics. We want to get into the business of education, which would have been the right thing to say. He's going to say, no, no, no. This young woman, because of her views about Hamas, people don't like her and they're threatening her life and we have to protect everybody. Tell the truth, sir. Tell the truth. You do not want it to devolve into what happened in Oregon and New York and San Francisco and Philadelphia and Chicago over the weekend. Because that doesn't say happy graduation. Quick timeout. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my day isn't complete unless I can throw spears at Tony Fauci. And I've got a whole bag of them next. There ought to be consequences. There ought to be consequences when you break the law. There ought to be consequences when you lie under oath. There ought to be consequences when you spy on unsuspecting people and create falsehoods in order to ruin their reputation and their futures. There ought to be consequences for all of this. And yet in Democrat-run America, there are none if you are a card-carrying member. You can loot, rob, pillage, set on fire, overturn, vandalize, destroy pretty much anything you want. You can block traffic. You can stop airplanes. You can block a bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge. Kind of big bridge. Yeah. And you can get away with it. You can basically do whatever you want. Now, if you're on the right and you say no to a vaccine or no to overarching tyrannical authoritarian rule from your governor or your mayor, you can be rounded up, charged, prosecuted, thrown away, and forgotten. And that is supposed to make sense. And we've got people in this country who think that is reasonable. It's not reasonable. And it's absolutely unreasonable that people at the highest echelons of power and decision making be given carte blanche coverage to suck. Tony Fauci. He's the one I have in my crosshairs right now, and I will have forever, because I will never forget what that man did to us and how he subsequently lied, the little cretin that he is. He believes he's bigger than Congress, bigger than the Bible, bigger than an oath. Because if you are dark through and through, if you've helped fund the research that created a virus that then was launched on the world and killed millions of people, including more than a million in your own country, what's lying under oath, right? I mean, like, you have no virtue. It's gone. But there ought to be a penalty. Penalty of perjury. What's the penalty? Well, I guess if you're Tony Fauci, there is none. I want to read you this. Alex Berenson. He's got a great Substack called Unreported Truths. And he's done some digging, and it's important that you hear this. Because Tony Fauci has lied about everything. And this is a big one. 10 years ago, this is the title, 10 years ago, microbiologist Ralph Baric told Tony Fauci and the world that he would make coronaviruses more lethal. And then with Fauci's backing, he did. Baric, who worked hand in glove with the lab in Wuhan, from which the SARS-CoV-2 virus likely leaked, also insisted that the government keep its rules on coronavirus loose so he could tinker with them more easily. Questioned under oath in 2022, Dr. Anthony Fauci largely denied knowing Dr. Ralph S. Baric. We've talked about this guy since 2020. A North Carolina scientist and the world's top coronavirus researcher. Fauci's claim came, though, that he met one-on-one with Baric as COVID raced around the globe in early 2020. And though he had funded Baric's work and hosted Baric at a day-long coronavirus research conference in 2013, but Fauci said he really didn't know him, didn't really meet him. Really? Why did Fauci try so hard to insulate himself from Baric 18 months ago, even at the cost of giving nonsensical answers while under oath? Seems like they've got a lot to hide. Baric's role and the plans he outlined in the conference on June 24th, 2013. A conference. A research coronavirus research conference in 2013. Baric's role in it may help answer that question, Alex Berenson writes. He says the National Institutes of Health put the day-long event together, kind of like Event 201, during an outbreak of a novel coronavirus called MERS-CoV, MERS-COVID, which was highly lethal but not very transmissible. About 50 people attended the event. They included leading coronavirus researchers as well as Peter Daszak. I love when Peter Daszak and members of EcoHealth Alliance, the money laundering wing of this sordid operation, are part of this. And federal officials concerned about infectious diseases. Really. But Baric was without doubt the star of the show. He made the first presentation, then another after lunch. He rarely went more than a few minutes without asking questions. He had earned the role. After earning a PhD in microbiology from North Carolina State University in 1982, Baric turned to infectious disease research, became known for his ability to handle coronaviruses, which can be hard to grow in labs. Why we want to do this remains one of the greatest questions in my mind. Why do you want to do this? Because you want to come up with the antidote so you can get rich, right? He became known for his ability to handle coronaviruses, which can be hard to grow in labs, as well as making genetic modifications to them. And because coronaviruses have a relatively large genome, the nucleotides that encode the information necessary for them to replicate themselves, they're harder to genetically modify than some other viruses. But Barrick and his researchers did so with relative ease. This isn't some random thing, guys. They didn't just cross at a conference one time 10 years ago. All of these players are in bed together. They all have a role. They all have a lane. It's Fauci getting the funding and the okay and controlling the purse strings at the NIAID, was in charge of like $8 billion in grant money, was able to say to people, hey, you're either on board what I'm doing or you don't get any research money. Bribery? Blackmail? Sounds so familiar, of course. Alex writes, coronaviruses are named for their striking shape. They have a halo of spike proteins that stick out of a shell that protects the strand of genes that lets them replicate. It's your coronavirus blob that you saw all over the place. The spikes attach to receptors on human cells, and they let the coronavirus begin the process of copying itself, right? Well, doctors had historically considered coronaviruses minor health threats compared to influenza, much less terrors like smallpox. The four coronaviruses known to affect humans before 2002 were generally associated with common colds, until these freaking nightmare Dr. Frankensteins decided to get in their lab and do something really dark. And again, the kick in the pants is we paid for it. Every single which way. Barrick made sure everybody understood the risk of his favorite virus and the need for well-funded research programs to reduce it, right? And so here we have this documentation from Alex Berenson in this Substack going through all of the documents that were presented in 2013 at this conference that laid the groundwork for what would take just another 7 years to perfect, to bring all these players on board. And I will remind you, who are the people who've spoken about this? Who've spoken about the spike protein, who've spoken about the nucleotides, who've spoken about all of these receptors, these ACE receptors, et cetera, et cetera. It was gobbledygook garbage to us in 2020. We were like, what? I just don't want to die because the media says I'm going to die. Well, what they were doing, of course, is running interference for what is probably the greatest and deadliest in our country, scam, medical scam, with the greatest collateral damage and now residual long-term health effects that if you speak about, your federal government now, thanks to 117 House Republicans, has carte blanche access to spy on you to investigate. So if you decide to go out today and say, huh, so interesting, this cozy relationship between Ralph Barrick, Peter Daszak, Tony Fauci, and the Bat Lady, the Communist Chinese Party, all of them concocting this potion of suck to unleash on the world. Well, now they can come and they can dig into your past, ladies and gentlemen. They can root around your present and they can screw your future. All because they are so desperate to cover up what they've done. And they stood on television day after day and they told you, no, your kids aren't allowed to go to school. No, 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 no. We can't have swing sets. Take down those basketball hoops, right? We wouldn't want anybody outside breathing fresh air. We need everybody inside captive paying attention to our every word, like Hitler and the Austrian radio. It's so gross how all of this cycle, how the cycles recycle, how event 201, right? With Bill Gates and Pfizer looking at how would we respond to a global pandemic? And then that is so convenient. Literally weeks later, shazam, There it is. Fauci has lied under oath, and he's lied, and he has lied again, demonstrably proven in documents. And yet he can get away with it while Stuart Rhodes is locked up in prison for 18 years. Got it. Quick time out. When we're back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, the pendulum swinging all the way back to Charles Barkley. Yeah, you maybe didn't want to say that you'd punch anybody wearing a Trump shirt, because it didn't end well. Next. Wow, Megadeth, I think. Brock is feeling a little edgy right now. So in the segment prior to this, we just talk about the many ways in which people lie to us, lie to our faces every single day. They lie under oath every single day. Am I just naive? That might just be the case. That I still think that if you put your hand on a Bible, that means something. But these people get away with it. You know, the court of public opinion, however, is a little bit more ruthless than apparently our justice system in penalizing dirtbags. Charles Barkley should probably stick to what he knows, basketball, sports commentating. He does an okay job doing that. But in the stupid show he was on with Gayle King on CNN called King Charles, he stepped in a major poo sandwich. And he couldn't get it off his shoe. There wasn't enough grass around to drag his foot. Here's Breitbart.com. One of my favorite guys, borderline boyfriend, John Nolte. Headline, failing CNN cancels Charles Barkley and Gayle King's King Charles. Well, you don't say. It didn't last that long, did it? Did it last longer than CNN Plus? Oh, that hurts a little bit. I was great when Chris Wallace or whatever his face is got screwed out of that deal. Here you go. The geniuses who run CNN thought it had a surefire hit on its hands with King Charles, a weekly talk show co-hosted by Gayle King and Charles Barkley. It's all about race baiting, being angry that you're black and rich, right? To multi-millionaires many times over, sitting there lamenting the woes, right? King Charles lasted 6 months. The New York Post posting King Charles got the axe after just half of a year on the air. The weekly call-in show, which aired at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Wednesday nights, failed to generate more viewers than reruns of the sitcom Friends and episodes of South Park. Since debuting in November, King Charles' viewership fell 20%. The first airing was watched by 500,000 local viewers, 139,000 in the advertiser coveted 25 to 54 age demographic, according to Nielsen. It was the lowest rated primetime weeknight series debut for CNN in at least a decade. Now, I'm no advertising rock star, but I get how this works. Having been in television for years, if you don't get the ratings, you don't keep the job. So you go from reporter to morning or to noon news anchor to the morning news anchor to the noon and the five news anchor to the five and the 11, right? Until you're finally in the top spot. As long as you're there and the ratings are good, you're okay. But when everything goes sideways, usually news organizations get a clue. Well, CNN apparently can lose gobs of money and not care. Near the end, per the Post, King Charles couldn't even attract 100,000 demo viewers. Now, of course, we should remind you that this is the same Charles Barkley who said to Gayle King, what, 2 months ago, that he had no tolerance for people, particularly black people, supporting Donald Trump. What is it that they could possibly like about Donald Trump? Well, anybody paying attention living in Realville would tell you everything. everything. And the more they throw at this guy, the more the black community seems to understand how he's being treated unfairly, because it seems very familiar to them. So Charles Barkley says, well, if you're black, if you're walking around, anybody, and you've got a Trump picture on your shirt, I want to punch you. I want to punch you. That's how I feel about you. That's probably not a really good thing to say. Why does CNN keep doing this stuff, right? Why do they hire people that nobody wants to watch? What does Gayle King bring to any party? Oh, that's Oprah's best friend. Well, who cares? She sucks too. Just ask Lahaina. Let's talk about some of the other disgraced CNN things that they've pushed. You know, let's talk about the Russia collusion hoax, the hands up, don't shoot hoax. These are all things that CNN has pushed, irrespective of Charles and Gayle. Jussie Smollett, they were behind that. The Covington racist guy, Nicholas Sandman, who wasn't. You know, the very fine people hoax about Charlottesville. How about the hoax that Trump trashed troops, or that policemen were killed at a mostly peaceful January 6th protest? Kyle Rittenhouse, they covered that like nobody's business. How about eating while black hoax? That border agents were whipping illegals. They were major purveyors of that. The Georgia Jim Crow 2.0 story of suck. That MAGA, some MAGA wacko, assaulted Paul Pelosi. The lab leak theory, the Hunter Biden laptop, Russian disinformation. I mean, honestly, how long do you survive? With cable TV drying up, people moving to streaming, where we've been, thankfully, for years now. I wonder if the MSNBCs and the CNNs out there are realizing that their days are numbered. Because people don't want to be lied to. They don't want to be conned. And the pendulum is swinging the other way. So can we tell you for sure that it was Charles Barkley talking about punching people who wanted to wear Trump shirts? No. But isn't it amazing when you hear that, how quickly you can turn off your cable box and go outside and do something productive that sends a message anyway? Good riddance, King Charles. It was stupid to begin with. There you go. We're delighted that you're here, ladies and gentlemen. Wendy Bell Radio Network app. Remember, join us on the live stream tomorrow. Just come on back. We'll see you in 21 hours. Until then, peace.